This is Jill and Kim with One Harmonic Whole.
Welcome.
Yeah. Welcome, welcome.
We have such a fun topic today. Oh, ha!
Oh, I want to yawn and I want to giggle all at the same time.
And why do you yawn, Kim?
Right? Yawning is energy moving, energy flowing. It's like my confirmation. It is my yes. It's like, I hear, oh, I don't yawn. I love it.
Yes.
Yes.
It's like saying yes.
A yawn is like yes. Oh, ha. Oh, hyphen H-A. Oh, ha. Ha. That's actually what I want to talk about. People are listening. They're going, what are these two talking about? What is oha?
Oh?
Oh?
It's like, oh.
Oh.
Oh. Oh. It's like, oh my gosh. It can be used, oh, can be used in many different ways, like observation. Oh, it can be like, oh, I didn't know that. Like, oh, now I understand. Like, oh, can be so many different things, or it could be like a, oh, interesting, like, oh. So there's not one particular, oh.
It's very dynamic.
Because it could also be like, oh.
Yeah, like, oh, I'm not so sure about that.
By the way, Jill came up with this. She gets all credit.
But it worked amazing. And, the ha is like, it makes me giggle every time.
Yes.
Oh, ha. That's like the realization that we've observed something.
Yes.
And like, it's entertaining. It makes the observation so entertaining and insightful and informative and playful.
Yes. And it doesn't hold on to it. So the energy of our, oh, even if it was kind of like, oh, like kind of an achy oh, but you're not quite for sure to understand. Is it bad? Is it good? Like, I'm not quite for sure. Like, oh. Like, I get it now. It's like, it changes the vibration to, you don't hold on to it. Keeps it moving in the body.
I was going to say, it moves energy. Like a yawn is a sign energy's moving, right? Oha is like the match. It's like it starts energy moving.
Yeah.
Since this came through about, what was a little over a week ago anyway.
Yeah.
So many times throughout my day, I'll stop and I'll send them like, oh, huh?
Yes.
And then I giggle because the energy starts to move. And it feels so good to have the energy moving. And the giggling that comes from it has been, even when it's been an oha moment for more serious moments.
Yeah.
One of them is one day I was so serious about everything. Like, you know, some days I'm kind of a, in general, more serious person.
No.
I like to laugh, but I have a lot of seriousness to me.
When we get in these like podcasts and stuff, our playfulness really comes out. This is our oha moment.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yep.
So I was having this serious day and I was walking and I like, caught myself all of a sudden. I was like, oh, hi.
Wow, I'm being so serious today. And then the next piece was like,
we talked about on some other times to not judge it. There's no judgment. There's a proper place for judgment. There's an appropriate place for judgment.
Yeah.
The oha, no judgment is really the big thing. And I caught myself. I was being serious. I did the oha. I started giggling. And then I really did that just as another piece of observation where I was like, no judgment. I just, wow, I noticed how serious I was being. And quite honestly, it shifted my day and the rest of my day. While there was still a level of seriousness to it, was way lighter. Way more like in the flow, just from one moment.
Yeah.
The magic of oha.
It's like they talk about the pitches and the tones in our voice change frequencies. So it can be very healing. And that's what that does when
Who's
I hear
they?
It.
Oh. When you say they talk about
it. Oh, Ruth. It's all. I'm going back to, back in time. They're reeling me back in. So when I'm saying they, this is like our spiritual energy. It's your energy, your essence, your soul, your spirit is literally like vibrating to frequencies.
And it yours, vibrates. The listeners here, you're talking about.
Yep.
Yours, the listener.
So it like vibrates to pitches, to tones, just like in music. There is science behind that. And I get pulled to like Beethoven and Bach, and all the orchestrated music that they created was so healing back in the day. And they learned to understand like this pitch, this tone, and you put it with this, like how powerful it actually creates a peace and calming in the people. And this is why music has become so powerful in healing the body. Singing ensembles have been popping up everywhere lately.
Sound and sound vibration and yeah. Healing is like big time.
And people forget their voice.
Our own voices can shift. So when you're sitting there pointing me, though, are you getting information in a way?
Like yes.
Picking up other people's songs. Each of
yes.
us has, I've heard it talked about, every person has a soul song.
Yep.
Girl's soul has a unique imprint, a unique vibration, a unique song.
Yep.
So when you're saying they're saying,
they, it's you,
you, the people that are speaking.
Yeah.
Your soul. Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
So what are they saying?
It's the pitch that you use. These two, well, there's actually three letters. It's the pitch they use, these two syllables, that creates a massive healing effect in your body. So if you're like, oh, ha, okay, that's not going to do anything. We talked in the past.
It's going to shift something.
It does. We talked in the past about like the ha, ha, ha,
ha,
ha,
ha, ha. Yes, to laugh.
Yeah.
Okay. Back to that really serious moment of mine that I just talked about. And I was so serious that day. It was around that when we talked about ha, ha, ha. We were talking about using laughter to shift something. And I was deadpan, ha, ha, ha.
Oh.
And that literally didn't happen
about that fast.
I went from deadpan serious ha to giggling.
Damon Jill said I was supposed to laugh.
Huh. Oh, this is really funny.
Yeah, it's like it changes the pitch versus like ha. It seems like it's just like one pitch and we start off so low and so deep with it. Oh my gosh, who are you guys listening? You're probably like, these two are goofy.
Oh,
we love to have fun.
You gotta be goofy though. Our world right now to me is so serious. I'm gonna jump to something real quick in that I remember as a kid, my parents had a friends group that was very, they had very different belief systems. I didn't know this as a kid. As I grew up and looked back on it, lots of people with different belief systems, political backgrounds. It wasn't so racially diverse. That wasn't a part of it at the time. They laughed and they played a lot.
Card games.
Cards and just play, you know.
Yeah.
And
bowling, that was a thing back in the day. Yeah.
I think some of what we do when we get together is we have so much seriousness in our lives, which is fun seriousness stuff. Some of it not. Some of it's just like, anyway, when you and I get together, our playfulness definitely comes out.
Yep. And we can have two different beliefs on something and we can totally honor and respect that, but yet have fun in life.
Yes.
So, totally makes sense with what is actually happening around in the world right now. There's such a diverse pull that people are going through, whether it's political, whether it's religious, whether it's in your own life, your husband-wife combo, your partnership combo, whatever that looks like, it doesn't matter. Like I'm seeing people, they're either coming together or they're getting extremely pulled apart. And it's actually kind of scary.
And I would say that one of the medicines to that is, observe it.
Yep.
And
and when you're
the energy around.
Exactly.
What a great tool.
And I, you know, thank you for giving me credit for it, but it came through. It's really not mine. It came through. I was glad to, you know, be the conduit for it, but I don't like own it in that regard. It was really fun. It just came through. Even you giggle when you say it.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to ask people to do. When you're listening to this and you're going, these two are silly.
Yeah.
Bring a little silliness in. And we're not saying, you know, life isn't serious, or there are times when we have to just sit down and go, I really need to think this through. Absolutely do that. But we want a little more levity brought into daily life as well, to lighten things a bit, to move the energy some more. Yep. All of this is, we were talking earlier too about being able to discern.
Ooh.
You know, it helps. Yes. It helps to be able to discern.
Yep. If you're one of those people that overthink things.
Hello?
rehashtag in your head, like constantly overanalyzing, overprocessing. Oh my goodness. We can go on and on with that. It's perfect to just say that without judgment. Just, okay. It shifts something where your brain can finally calm down. So the messages might come through a little bit easier. You may not feel as frustrated, and you can let things go a lot easier and be like, okay, I can come back to this later. That's the other thing. People love to stay in that state to try and, let's just get it done. We're right here, right now. Let's just hashtag this up. Wait,
let's do this.
And you get everybody getting frustrated. Nothing gets done.
Yeah. So I had texted you last week, Kim, a few words, and they were in a specific order. And I was like, are you familiar? And it was, the first order of words is do, have, be. So do stuff, then you'll have stuff, then you'll be something.
Okay.
That's what people are doing when they're, let's knock this out. Let's we're going to hammer this out. We're going to make it happen. We're going to do so we can have.
Yeah.
And then we'll be something.
Yep.
Happy, content, successful, whatever, fulfilled, pick it. And I had followed up with be, do, have. So you be it first. Where I'm going with this is I think OHA puts us back in the being, in the state of being. So to make that, give it some concrete feet here is I like to overthink. No, I overthink I don't actually like it. I don't like it at all. Habitually, right. I overthink so much. And energy gets really stuck, really heavy, where I get stuck in it too.
Yeah.
And what I'm doing is I'm doing because I want to have something, a result, so that I can then be successful, happy, fulfilled, be accomplished, whatever.
Yep.
And when I'm in that overdoing, overdoing. I shift myself into a state of being. I shift myself out of doing into being.
Perfect.
That totally makes sense.
And isn't this like that moment? It's like, Like we can utilize it in how many different patterns, but it's totally true. You have to be, you are Jill. You are always going to be Jill. This is where you're going to be, okay? Jill is going to do something. Jill's going to make a podcast, okay? And then she will have, you know, a podcast. I don't know what you want to...
What? An experience. You had an experience. You have a result from it. You have listeners who tuned in. You have...
But you stayed at Jill the entire time. You honored yourself during that entire experience versus in the past, you're like, I don't know who I want to be. What do I want? Do I want to play into this role as to this character?
Oh my gosh, that shift. It's like thinking and I'm in my head. And what I would like to say about that is I was trained by a lot of people in my life who I believe actually did long, and that was an expression of love. They were training me a certain way under the guise of love. Like they really, meaning their intention was we're loving this little girl by training her to do this.
So you can be this person.
Then you can be this, do this. And slowly I got out of my own essence. I got trained out of being Jill and got trained into doing life.
Yeah.
So that I could have and then be.
Yep.
It's backwards. Flips it into it flips the order. It's not the right order. It's just a different order.
Right.
I would venture to say the air quote right order. I think it's probably way more enjoyable to be in a state of being
yeah.
that's observing and curious and entertained, informed, guided.
Yep. And one realistic example would be also in nursing world.
Oh.
Like I, back in the day, I didn't know what I wanted to be. Okay. Who did I want to be?
So you're graduating high school. What are you going to do? Who are you going to be? What do you want? What's your job? Like everything was around that instead of who I really was.
Yeah.
So, okay, whatever. I don't know. I'm just going to go live life.
I found that I really enjoyed watching ER shows.
Yeah.
On TV, like the trauma shows. And I'd sit there and watch them.
Like reality?
Yeah.
ER ones? Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. Those are fun. And so my husband.
They're fun.
Okay. Great. True. My husband's like, you should really go to school for that. Like, ugh. Okay. I didn't know this at the time. I didn't have any preconceived notions on what is good or bad in the nursing world. Okay. I right away, my gut was like, oh, I don't know if I want to do that. I love this aspect. I love watching this, but I don't know if I want to be a nurse. Okay. And I didn't understand why. And then, so part of me is like, if I get to do that, if I get to see the trauma and I get to do that, that would be so cool. So that was my intention. Like, I want to be more of a trauma nurse, or I would love to do this. And then, like, cool, I'm gonna go to school for a nurse. Then I hear this, well, you should work at ER.
You should or shouldn't?
Should not.
Okay.
Because you're gonna be exposed to all these chronic illnesses, or now you're gonna be exposed to measles and mumps, like, all these things.
Where were you hearing this?
From my family.
Got it.
Family. They're like, don't go into that. And I'm like, I think it'd be cool riding a helicopter. Oh, you're going to crash. You're going to, like, all these
lots
things.
Lots of fear.
Yeah.
Lots of fear feedback.
Yep. And I was like, wow, they want me to be a nurse.
But they were trying to protect you too.
They were.
Out of what they felt was love.
Yep. And I'm looking back, well, if I want to be a nurse, I want to do them what I thought was fun and exciting and like super cool and like the traumas.
Yeah.
And
thank goodness there are people who are entertained by traumas because right. They're the ones that can heal trauma.
Yep.
They can help people survive through traumas.
We need those nurses.
We need those nurses. We need people like Kim who think it's fun to do that. And, you know, and I'm just saying that to clarify that it's not, you're not looking at going trauma itself is fun.
No.
The working and having the result of getting through and helping someone heal from trauma is what you're really, I'm guessing, very intrigued by the whole process.
So if you think of that, that concept of helping somebody heal through trauma, where have I come from in my nursing degree? I was always meant to heal trauma.
Yeah.
Heal people who are in like that chronic, like not chronic state, but now it's chronic, but like that, what am I doing? I don't feel good right now. What do we need to do? People are in a crisis mode.
Okay.
But when I went in through my nursing degree, I ended up working in peds and ICU when I was in nursing school. And then
pediatrics and ICU.
NICU.
NICU. Gotcha.
Yeah. And it transpired into, oh, okay. The hospital I was working at, whatever, they weren't hiring 2-year degree nurses at that time. I had a 2-year degree in RN.
Yep.
And so I ended up taking a different position. I ended up going into elderly.
Into elderly care?
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I, again, my hopes were to get back into more trauma-based. So now I'm dealing with elderly people who now have chronic illnesses, all these weird things. And I didn't feel like I was just doing the nursing thing at this point. I was losing myself.
I was doing.
Mm-hmm. And I was doing what people told me to do.
Yep. And also what you told yourself to do.
Right. And not realizing it.
Yep.
Over time, hindsight, we always love hindsight.
It's so clear.
Yep.
And hindsight's 2020.
I look back and I'm like, wow, my initials and intention when I was 19 years old, sitting in front of the TV, watching all these trauma ER life shows, and literally doing the exact same thing.
Yeah. But You're not doing it. You're being mm-hmm. it.
Because you're not
going.
Yeah. Because that is the distinction, is that yep. you are being the
essence
yes. of Kim.
And that's what I wanted to be.
Which sounds like woo-woo, but it's not woo-woo.
No. And I had to literally go through this, my own internal struggles to realize I wasn't being myself. I wasn't honoring myself. I was doing yeah. so that I could have all this money. I can have all this stuff, which then,
have a family, have this, do yes. this, have a house, have whatever.
Yes.
And then once I'm done with all that, I'll be happy. I'll yeah. be someone then.
And you're never happy. And I thought, like, I could be earning a crap ton of money in the nursing role.
Yeah.
But I was never happy.
You were fulfilled.
Nope.
Yeah. Because the being yep. state is where we find fulfillment. That's where happiness comes from. That's, we can be in a state of bliss and in a chaotic world.
Yeah.
We train ourselves to do that.
Yeah.
But we have to start with the B in order to do that. And back to OHA. OHA puts us in the B state. So I was doing, overthinking.
Yeah.
Overthinking is doing. I'm going to keep thinking until I have the result I want. And I was like, I'm so in this doing mode. I'm not having any fun.
Yep.
There's no fulfillment. There's no enjoyment. And quite honestly, I don't even care when I get to that stage because there's no way I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be what I am right now, which is I'm overthinking. This is heavy. This is hard. It's parallel to what you did as a nurse.
Yeah.
It's just minus yes. a shorter timeline. Yours was longer there, right?
Oh. I think yours probably has a long timeline too.
Yes, it does. Not the one example I'm using. My life has a super long timeline.
Yes.
Yes. The power of OHA is it can apply to a moment, a day, a morning. It can apply to, you can reflect on your, say, journey to through your career.
Yep.
Oh, I would say, Kim, my journey was probably even longer.
Yeah.
Which I'm hesitating to put that feather in my cap, but I have to because it's the truth. And interestingly, it was such a long, difficult, let's see how long Jill can be hard on herself journey. I'll call it that.
Yes.
And then I come wandering into Kim's store.
And I'm fascinated with the trauma that she's in.
Oh, is it a wonder that I ended up in Kim's store? And then the really funny part about it is, oh my gosh, someone else had told me to go seek him a solid year and a half. I'm going to guess it was a solid year and a half before I actually want. And I was like, no, I'll wait till I'm in deep trauma before. I was already in trauma that year and a half before. Let's wait till it's even worse. I was not conscious about that. That's what was going through me, though, as I waited. I waited, and I came in, and yeah, you were totally fascinated. I have this really amazing knack to manifest the best person possible when I will actually stop and be in Jill's essence.
Yeah.
Be, and I will stop and I will ask, okay, I need this person. Who is it? Like at that juncture, I knew I needed help. It was beyond me. I cornered myself. I needed help.
Yep.
I could have gotten myself out. It would have been a really, really long road. I was smart enough, wise enough to tune in and go, that's such a hard road. The road here was really hard. I need some help. Have this magnificent ability. I've got loads of people I could go through that I've manifested over the years. Incredible talent. And when I was guided to come in here to see you, Kim, I left that day, that first day, and I was like, wow, she's amazing. And now I was also like, wow, you're really amazing at manifesting people. And then I had a little chat with myself. And the OHA observation, I did not know I was doing this at the time.
Right.
But it's like, perhaps, Jill, you don't need to wait so long to ask. Okay. And that's where I could start. And I believe that was really the beginnings of engaging a state of being.
Yeah.
And funny thing is, Kim, there's so many directions we could go with this. I want to go with this one because it's funny. Kim looks at me one day in a podcast somewhere or recording. I don't even know where it is, but you were like, the guidance for you, Jill, is to be.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I literally like looked at you and I was like, what does that mean?
Yes. And I think at some
point, and quite honestly, my nice response, because there's a whole bunch of other responses that went through my head that I edited. No, don't say that, Jill. No, don't use swear words. Don't.
I seen them all over your face.
Yes, though, because it was just right there. Because I was like,
me? What do you mean, me?
And in answer to that, I believe OHA emerged in part of an answer to that.
Yep.
What do you have to say about what does it mean to be?
I think back to that moment, and I don't remember moments very well because a lot of times when I'm channeling or I'm, you know, really tuning into your energy, I let that stuff go. I've had to learn that.
Mine or someone's, anyone's energy, right?
Now. We can talk about that a whole other time on how to just let that stuff go. But I remember at one point, I felt like you stomped your feet. And I don't know if it was at that moment or some other time, because you loved to bring your information back. You would go home and you would fester on it. And then you'd come back like, okay, Kim. And you would like rehashtag this stuff all out again. I was laughing because I'm like, why is she still stuck on this? Like, it's already done. It's already gone. Like, why are we staying stuck? So you loved to sit in that moment and try to keep rehash taking it out.
I think I was like,
you didn't know how to.
So trained into doing. I didn't know how to let go of doing. Quite honestly, I was like, if I stop doing, don't I just disappear?
Right.
Because I had gotten so, here's what I was. My identity was doing. And you had suggested to me to identify as B.
Yeah.
And I just was like, if I stop doing, I
just pulled the rug out from underneath. Yeah.
Yeah. Which was not true at all.
Right.
So funny that you were observing and watching me. That's why you're so fascinated by that.
It's fascinating what we do to ourselves. And I can look back at myself and I can catch myself pretty fast now in those moments because I'm still human. Like, I knew that for myself.
Thank goodness.
Yep. And
thank goodness you're still human is what I mean.
Yeah. And there's that discernment. We'll talk about that. But when you ask me about being, what does it mean to just be, or how do you just be? It's not about meditation. It's not about just sitting outside and not doing anything. It's not about just sitting in the sunlight. Like, that's kind of what I feel a lot of spiritual leaders are telling people is just to, sit and meditate or just sit out in the sun, get outside and ground. All those things are amazing. But when I thought of the word to just be, my instant reaction was to, so I have to just sit out in the sun and everything's going to be fine. Like, wait. So I just like walk around in that thing and that's just being. And I felt like I had to be in that state all the time. Like I couldn't then go to the store to go get food. I couldn't go over here because I have to work on just being still. It's not about being still. It's about being in the moment. So bringing yourself to that particular moment and then saying, okay, asking your body, what are you missing? What are you lacking? What do you need? That is being in the moment. It's just being with yourself and honoring yourself. Whether that means I need to go sit out in the sun, whether that means, I need to go to the store. I need to get some food. Does it mean like I need to go out for a walk? Doesn't matter. There's movement and there's being in the energetic flow, but you're listening to yourself.
Yes. And it's what I would call a disruptor.
Yeah.
Because we often can't stop our trainings and our habit.
Can't stop the feeling.
Without a disruptor.
Yeah.
And then that disruptor moment allows us then to get back into that being state.
Yes.
And the disruptor, disruptor is like, that's a wild word to pick. Energetically, disruptor, right? And it's like, Jill coming in to see Kim and talk with Kim. Kim's observing Jill. I'm going, why does she keep doing this? Jill needed a disruptor. You have to disrupt a habit that was a negative or bad or unproductive habit. I wasn't even aware of it, but I needed something to interrupt that. So that I can take a deep breath and go, perhaps I'd like to go a different direction. And to me, that's what OHA does.
Yes.
Disrupts it, moves it, and gives me, you, anyone, the opportunity to move energy in a different direction.
Correct.
I was going to bring something up that was in my human head, ego side, my processing. And as soon as I was tuning in, I heard, no, not right now. Okay, that's the fun part. Sometimes when I'm in my head, when I say I hear things, it's my own voice, but it comes through a different pitch. So a lot of us have a conversation with ourselves in our head.
We're having the conversations. If we're not aware of them, doesn't matter. We're still having them.
Yep.
There's stories,
yep,
words, narratives, opinions, reactions.
They're all in there.
It's going.
Yep. So when you stop and want to call and listen to your brain, it's not like you're actually hearing it, like hearing my voice. You're hearing your thoughts. You're being cognizant of your thoughts. And then when you, oh my gosh, Bruce Almighty, that show when he was given the God's power in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden there's a filing cabinet that he opened up, and the filing cabinet was really, really, really long. And yeah, there's all these thoughts. And then I get pulled to all the emails and everybody's like, pray for me, God, do this, God, do that. And all of a sudden he's just like, oh, he got so overwhelmed with all the information coming at him. Everybody, like, he couldn't, it's not like they were talking right in front of him, but he got all of the information in his head. This is what happens to a lot of us as you're driving, you're moving around, everything. This is what's actually happening. So some movies actually play a big factor in showing us what's actually truly happening, but they make them more fun and they make them entertaining, you know, because they need to make movies. That's what they do.
Okay. Not going to judge them.
But this information of all these files. So our brain holds a ton of files. And I get pulled all these little neurons and electrodes and all this fun stuff in our brain. And it's like a filing cabinet over here, over here, over here. We tend to file stuff
a lot
in there. Like I'm seeing my wall and I know the color of the wall. Okay, I'm going to file that in there. And also later on in life, for whatever reason, that file cabinet's opened up and I remember the wall. It's like you can go back to childhood. There's a file cabinet. Like, I totally forgot about that. There's a file for that. Okay. And now you get disrupted with all this information. Okay. All over the place. These people and you are now overwhelmed because you can't even get to those file cabinets. Can't even get to them. You can't even get to like the storage that you maybe enjoyed, didn't enjoy. It doesn't matter because now you're caught up in all that everybody else is. Oh, I need you to do this. I need you to do that. Like, oh, please, God, save me. Please, God, do this. Like, hear me. Do all the stuff. And you're just overwhelmed because that's what we see on a daily basis all the time. And we hear each other. What? Her cry. Whew. We hear each other's thoughts. We feel each other's pains and thoughts. All these things. Like, we as humans have amazing abilities to be able to be very empathic and very empathetic towards a person. But what has happened, we want to do, we disregard us being, and we're trained to do. So then let's do for Jill, let's do for her to make her happy. And a lot of times we forget who we are in this process. And I get back to the movie with this Bruce Almighty, he forgot who he was. His initial intention was to honestly find himself. And he ended up failing. But it turned out to be a really positive thing. He had to see the worst of himself. He had to see the darkness with himself, his ego side. He had to deal with it. Some people call it the dark night of the soul. I don't like that word. It's more, if you haven't gone and understood your flaws, not flaws, but when you understand the areas of where you feel like you're lacking and you understand them and you are okay with them, maybe sometimes you could fix those. And other times it's more like, I know I'm not good on a computer.
You could call it strengths and weaknesses.
Yes.
You could call it your shadow side.
Yep.
There's loads of ways to
name it or frame it.
However you'd like to. I would just suggest to people, you know, try and do frame it in a way that you can more observe it, whereas does it hurt you?
Yep.
Where you're not harming yourself. Because quite honestly, you've by like not actually looking at those, I'll call them shadows.
Yes.
You've already hurt yourself.
Yep.
A ton by not looking at them.
Yep.
Because they'll keep having effect in your life that isn't a positive effect, if you will.
Yep.
And so then the way to see them isn't to add hurt on top of hurt. It's just to be that observer again, that, to stand back and look in and go, I am not any good on computers.
Right.
No judgment, observation, fact.
Yep.
There we go. Same with your brain. You overthink.
You know that part of you. That part is not going to change. It is who you are. It's an essence of you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You can take all the supplements in the world. You can try and do all this stuff, but it is who you are. It's part of your DNA makeup. So you come to a point where you're like, I know that this is who I am. This is part of my being. And I'm okay with that.
That's where an aha moment has come in for me, actually, because I am a chronic overthinker.
Yep.
In recovery. And in that moment, you know, overthinking, I go, I'm overthinking right now.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm overthinking. This is actually a process that's gone through in my mind. I will then ask my mind, can we stop, please?
Exactly.
Listen to it. And then basically my mind's like, no. Most times can't stop.
Yep.
Like that's a big ask to ask a mind to stop. There's people do sometimes decades of training in order to stop their mind. So getting a mind to stop, that was a big ask.
Yeah.
So then I was like, okay, how about slowing down?
Yeah.
And then my mind sometimes too, it was just like, nope. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to reframe that. Slow down.
You didn't ask, you told it.
Exactly. And the mind's like, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it started with that. Oh, I'm being, what was happening is I was being in a state of thinking, do. And I was like driving myself crazy.
Yeah. So when you heard that in your head, it's just like, it's a thought almost that just comes in. And sometimes the pitch, the tone of the no, you, over time, we can learn to understand, is that coming from ego? Or is that coming from other energies around, say, like the people around you, their essence, because that comes in? Or is it really coming from your higher source, like your higher spirituality? I'm not going to sit there and say God, universal energy. I'm just saying your higher aspect for yourself.
Something about it is about being in relationship with ourselves.
Yeah.
So we get to decide in that moment. Am I going to have a conversation? What am I thinking right now? Like, what am I feeling right now?
Yeah.
What's going on right now? What's happening right now? They're questions. I get it. But it's like, how to filter it. So that's where I think being gets overwhelming, because we're trying to grab the whole essence of being.
Yeah.
And it's like, in that moment, I'm going to look at my thoughts right now. Or feelings, or explore what's going on with my body.
Yep.
Or have a conversation with my higher self, if you want to call it.
Yes.
Or a conversation with my soul. So to really, really simplify things right now, give it some layers.
Yeah.
Mind, body, soul layers. People have heard mind, body, soul, and or mind, body, spirit.
Yep.
Whatever combination you want. But that would be a really good way to say that those combined are your V. Your essence, who you are, to try and take all of that on at once as humans, we're just overwhelmed.
Yep.
So pick one. And that's in that moment where I was going to realize it was like, I was in thinking, my mind was very, very, very active, overactive. Yep. And then my mind was pinging on some pretty intensive emotions, which were causing my body.
So, and you have a tendency to get headaches, migraines very easily. Yeah, because you get the energy stuck in the mind.
So it totally makes sense. Which I want to make a note about that. I've observed that one. I started with headaches when I was a kid. I was like 6. And here's the observation I've noticed. And like, very few people got headaches or migraines when I started with them. And for a very long time, it was unusual. It wasn't uncommon, but it was still unusual to have headaches. It is ridiculously common today
for
people to have migraines
and headaches.
That is very true.
And part of it is because we have been trained more and more into do, and overdo actually would be more appropriate.
Yep.
Been trained into overdo. Yep. Remember the 16.67%? Yes. 16.67% is 1/6.
1/6.
You can't do it all. You can't do all six. Pick one of them. So I now know how to keep myself from having headaches. I'm not always successful at it yet, but I'm on my way.
Correct. Yep.
And one of them is, being very entertained by when I will find myself what I call like misbehaving. I'm overthinking. I am misbehaving.
Yeah. Yeah. And now you can call yourself out on it now a lot faster. Mm-hmm. And this is where the last headache you had, you're like, oh, how fast can you get rid of this headache? You know, it was like turning into a game.
It did become a game, and I didn't get rid of that headache very fast. As a matter of fact, not only did I get rid of the headache very fast, even my creating the headache, which I decide to say that right now, and I'm saying that I created that headache. I own that. I created a headache that had virtually no pain. It had discomfort, but virtually no pain, which was a big shift for me. And then I celebrated and I played with that and had fun with that. I was like, well done, Jen. I mean, I still want to keep going to not have that.
Yep.
I don't want to create those. But that was an improvement. It's being playful. And a thing that's coming to me too, Kim, is we're trained to overdo. And in that, we get caught up in a cycle of continuous, we're reacting. We continuously react. Do, react, do, react, do, react, do, react. It becomes very unconscious and very vicious. And it creates things we don't want. So when we're talking about breathing, when we're talking about bringing some levity, some humor, some disruption to that.
Yeah.
What's going on here? I'm so curious, and to start playing with it. What that is doing, since I'm having this like aha moment. It's allowing us to respond, which is so different than reacting.
Correct.
And responding has that vibration in it, that pitch. We get to choose the pitch, the tone, the vibration, the feeling.
Creative here.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
All right. To wrap things up.
Oh, they're so literal. Sometimes in my head, they're showing me literally wrapping up a box. Play with your images too during this time frame. If your brain is just stuck and you cannot hear it, just throw some random images in there, some random songs. Just try to change something in that moment. Yeah.
I love it. All wrapped up in a box because it's a gift. As much as we've played today and we play often.
Yes.
It's
a beautiful gift.
Yeah. Play with it. You want to play with it on a daily level? Kim and I are launching a new product very, very soon. Daily messages.
Daily. These are quicker messages, the energy that's happening at that moment.
At that
day. So, like, a little snippet of what we talked about today, like 5 minutes worth, you know, we'd probably throw in there. So it doesn't go in depth, but it definitely gives you a really good feel of what's happening in the moment. So you don't feel like you're lost in this world. So you feel like you're still part of it, but we're honoring your individuality and what you're energetically going through within yourself and giving you a tool, a tip, or sometimes it's just, you need a laughter. You just need something to break up the tension of the day. Guess what? You just will click a little button.
Yep.
And here we are. Yeah. To just create some joy in your life.
It's very powerful, very fun, very, all sorts of things. It's great.
Yes.
It's great stuff. It really is. That seems like a lame word, but it is. It's great.
Yes.
All righty. Kim and Jill, one harmonic whole.
Until next time.
Take care. Bye.